Moving from infant brain development to the teenage brain with a shock finding on how nicotine in cigarettes has detrimental effects on attention years down the line. I met with another speaker at the conference, firstly finding out what it's like to grow up in Russia.
My name is Natalia Gorinova, so I have a PhD in neuroscience. I was born and brought up in St. Petersburg. I first went to university in St. Petersburg for 5 years.
And what was it like growing up in St. Petersburg? I've never been myself, but I've heard it's and seen pictures. It seems like it's a beautiful city.
St. Petersburg is indeed a very beautiful city, and I was brought up with the idea that it's the most beautiful city in the world. Though I think now that it was not true, because when I first went abroad, I went to London, and I was amazed how beautiful it is. I actually grew up during Perestroika, so during the times of Gorbachev and the whole rebuilding of the system and collapsing of Soviet Union, we had to queue for bread and for all products. So instead of playing outside, you would go with your parents to a shop and wait in the queue just to buy some food.
And how long would it take to queue just for your bread for the day?
We did it really almost every day. So every day you would go to a shop and just look for some food that was available there. And I even remember sometimes standing in the queue outside in the cold for example, bananas. And we would take turns and warm up somewhere in the next building. I think I just wanted to travel a lot, and not because I wanted to escape that, but I wanted to see how people live in other countries.
So you've just presented at the conference, mm-hmm. and you're probably quite exhausted because you've flown all the way over from Europe. So there's a bit of jet lag kicking in. So thank you for speaking with us today. But what was it that you were just presenting?
So I talked about my PhD work in Amsterdam. So my project was on the long-term effects of nicotine during adolescence. And I think what made me so interested in that is also the fact that I smoked a lot when I was an adolescent. So for me, it was also a bit of a personal topic. And I was interested how the brain changes after.
And does it have an effect then, this smoking for many teenagers? I don't know what the stats is for the number of teenagers that smoke.
Well, the stats nowadays are improving, but still it's about 20% of teenagers in Europe that smoke. And in countries such as Russia, it's even worse. But it's about 50% of all teenagers that smoke.
And what kind of effect might this be having on their brain? Because a teenage brain is developing at a fanatical rate. There's lots of changes going on there with the connections and also fat wrapping itself around different nerve cells as well. There's so much change going on. So what effect would nicotine do to the teenage brain?
Well, you're absolutely right. The teenage brain is developing a lot during adolescence. And even to the mid-20s. And the most changes that happen in the adolescent brain happen in the prefrontal cortex. And this is the area of the brain, in front of your head. And this area is responsible for higher cognitive functions, such as attention and control of your behavior, the ability to plan and to make decisions. So basically all the functions that really make us human. So what happens in the adolescent brain is that prefrontal cortex is not mature at that age and still has to rewire all the connections. And so you can imagine if you smoke during this age and you expose your brain to nicotine, then nicotine impairs this normal development.
And you're looking at this not in the human brain, but in a different system.
So it's very difficult to look at the human brain, let's say inside of the human brain, and look at the, for example, receptors and proteins that change in the human brain. So for that, we use rodents, we use rats. And rats, just like humans, have a period of adolescence. They show typical adolescent behaviors. And just at this age, we give nicotine to those animals.
How are you giving them nicotine? I mean, are you handing them a cigarette and lighting it whilst they hold it in their paw?
Well, there are different ways of giving nicotine. For example, you can give in patches. But we decided for a different way of giving the nicotine because we really want to mimic binging smoking during adolescence. So we inject nicotine under the skin of those animals 3 times a day, as if they smoked for a couple of cigarettes one after another at one time.
And what kind of effect does this binge smoking have on the rodent adolescent brain?
So we are really interested in the long-term effects of nicotine. First thing that we see is that these animals are unable to focus their attention in the same way as control animals. So they make more mistakes in the attention performance task, and they are also more impulsive, so they make more premature responses in the task.
And that's even in adulthood, after this adolescence, it's this teenage binge smoking.
Yes, we measure in adult animals. But what we find is that if we treat the animals with nicotine during adulthood, so when they grow up and they pass this critical age of adolescence, we don't find the same effects. So there is no differences between the animals that receive nicotine during adulthood or controls.
I mean, this is quite a profound finding. There's 50% of teenagers in Russia, for example, that are smoking. It's going to have long-term detrimental effects on their attention and their focus later on in life. I mean, if this finding does translate into humans, and do you think that it could translate into humans?
Well, we certainly think that these effects can translate in humans. The most important thing in our research is not only that we find the effects of nicotine on the cognition, because these effects are also found in humans and they are well documented, but that we look at the mechanisms of those effects, what kind of receptors change. And what we find is that there is one receptor that is not connected to nicotinic receptor, a receptor that is involved in the release of excitatory transmitter glutamate, metabotropic glutamate receptor 2, and we find that this receptor is changed after nicotine exposure.
And it's this glutamate receptor which then causes the deficits in attention later on in life.
So what we found is that this receptor, there is less of this receptor in the brain after nicotine exposure during adolescence, and the function of this receptor is also impaired. What we also found is that when we improve the function of this receptor by stimulating this receptor with pharmacology, with drugs, then we can also improve attention.
So in that case, is there any possibility that you could somehow tweak cigarettes so that it, in the first place, doesn't affect this receptor during adolescence? Or could you reverse that damage done on the brain so that people later in life, if they've been smoking during adolescence, they can regain their attention?
So this is a very interesting possibility. So what we've done is indeed in animals, we can reverse the effect of nicotine. So what we did is that we injected this drug directly in the prefrontal cortex of the animals before they performed the task. And of course, with humans, you cannot reach the specificity. So if you design a drug, if you design this drug that will stimulate this receptor, you stimulate it all over the brain, and then it's very difficult to predict the effects of it.
Natalia continues her research in Marseille, France, and will be returning to speak with her later to find out if she could ever be lured back to living in Russia.